Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome into Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our opportunity as blind and partially sighted people to gather around each week and explore the world of technology. How's it going for you? Let us know. It's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk at rnib.org.uk. This week, Hubert Pavalkovich talks to the team behind the Superbrain headset, which uses haptic feedback to help wearers to better understand their environment. Jackie Brown will be demonstrating the Braille Emotion 40-cell Braille display and will be catching up with the latest news from the world of accessible gaming. Joining me this week, my co-hosts Callum Stoneman and Hubert Pavalkovich, just the three of us this time. Callum, what's happening with you this week in the world of technology?
Well, I've had an interesting couple of weeks, actually. I've been playing around with the WeWalk Smart Cane 2. I finally got mine a couple of weeks ago, and I've been using it. Bit of a spoiler alert. It's currently in its box waiting to be returned. So,
oh no.
I mean, it's, yeah.
So it's not lived up to your hopes and dreams?
No, and I mean, this might get a bit long, but I do want to share some thoughts on this because there are some positives. I mean, I love the new design. They've done a really good job with the design and making it feel more like a traditional cane. You know, where the first one, if you've ever got hands on with it, the cane is normal. The cane always has been. It's an Ambutech, just kind of a standard Ambutech, you know, long cane. And then the handle is where all the smart bits are. And the first one, it was very heavy and bulky. And, you know, I mean, I found it okay, to be honest, but I can definitely see why some people wouldn't. Whereas this one now, it's really thin, really light. And, you know, it feels like a normal cane. And the obstacle detection, because one of the features that it offers is detecting obstacles at like head and chest height. And on the first gen, I found it was all right, but it was very sensitive. Even on the lowest setting, it would be constantly vibrating and going off and saying there was something there. So you ended up I ended up ignoring it. Whereas it's much better on this second one. It's really, really good. Works well. The issue that I had was more the software, because I mean, for example, one of the main features, like selling points of WeWalk, is that you can control the navigation hands-free. So say you've got a route that involves a bit of walking and then a bus and then a bit more walking. You would do your first bit of walking, it'd direct you to the bus stop. And then when you're at the bus stop, you on the old cane, you would do a little gesture on the touchpad to get to a button that says, "I've arrived," which then tells it that you're at the bus stop. And it would then move on to telling you when the bus was coming. And then you do similar thing when you've got on the bus and it'll tell you where the stops are. What you can't do on the second generation cane is, for some reason, there's no way to switch to the next step. There's no way to get to that "I've arrived" button because the gesture that you'd use on the touchpad hasn't been mapped to any of the buttons. So you can't get to it. So you've got to use the app to prompt it onto the next step, which really kind of takes away the hands-free-ness, you know, the main selling point of it. And I did mention this to them and they said they're looking into it and it'll be fixed in an update, but it just felt, I mean, the product has already been delayed by 6 months. I mean, how was that missed, you know? And the other thing they really hyped up was this voice assistant. So you could say to it, you know, take me to the nearest coffee shop or give me directions to such and such a place, and it would just do it. And it also had a ChatGPT integration as well. That doesn't work. No matter what I try, it just says, I think it says like couldn't understand or couldn't find any addresses or something. And I've had someone else get in touch with me who's experiencing that issue as well. And again, it just feels like I would normally be fine with saying, well, you know, it's early days, these will be fixed in updates. But one, they're key features. And two, we've already had a delay. So I mean, how long do you leave it for? You know, £500 device.
Mm. Well, it'll be one to watch. Obviously, for you, you've made your decision. I'm keen to get a little bit more hands-on time with the Wee Walk 2. I remember, Callum, with the first one, you talked about that touchpad, and that's gone away now, hasn't it, on the second generation. They've got buttons instead, which sound like they might be easier to use when you're out and about.
They are.
One of the issues with the touchpad, of course, is you and I both live in the UK, where our weather is, shall we say, variable. How have you found its readiness to cope with adverse weather conditions?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I've not been out in a, you know, I've been out when it's kind of drizzling. I've not been out in a full, you know, downpour. But it comes with this, like, protective, feels like a rubbery or kind of silicone kind of case around the handle. Which in my case, it came installed already on the cane. So that's good. And apparently that's meant to protect it. And I can see that. And those buttons, again, you know, talking about the design, they've done a really good job of working out. So your fingers will naturally kind of land where those buttons are when you're holding the cane in that traditional grip. So, I mean, they are a hell of a lot easier to use than the touchpad. It's just a shame that, you know, some of the key things that you need to use them for. It's almost like they've forgotten about some of the, you know, mapping the arrow keys appropriately to the gestures, which is, it's a real shame. I always come back to the same thing with Wii Walk. I think the ability to have that hands-free control of your smartphone, or at least control of your navigation, and the obstacle detection is a good idea. I really think they're onto something. It's just that the end product never seems to match up to the hype, or at least not yet.
Well, we have a good relationship with Wii Walk, and I'm sure they'll be really keen to hear this feedback, and maybe we can invite them on a future tech talk, perhaps to speak to some of these points. And I'm looking forward to spending a bit more time with the Wii Walk 2. Have you tried it? We've all received these emails. You can order your Wii Walk 2 now. Were you somebody who was on the waiting list? Are you in the market for a smart cane, or do you prefer a good old-fashioned analog standard cane that it doesn't really matter too much if you leave it in the taxi because you've got a couple of spare ones at home? Let us know, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Hubert, how are you doing?
A few little highlights from me. There's a Meta Glasses one, but I'll start with first how I was rescued. And thanks to that rescuing, I am in this recording. So I came to the studio this morning ready to record Tech Talk. Turned on the studio computer and no speech, nothing at all. I did not know what was going on. What do I do? No one there. Caesar the guide dog is still doing his IT training. So I didn't know what was going on. So popped out ChatGPT live video on my phone, asked, what's on the screen? It said, it's a lock screen with a lovely snowy landscape. So I kind of had a chat with them. I'm going to click some buttons on the mouse. Clicked some buttons and I went, what's the screen now? What does it say? It said, you're on the login screen. You can enter your password. I entered the password. I asked, has it been accepted? Has the screen changed? Yes, it has. It's gone to your desktop. So a fantastic bit of technology assistance there, which was needed when there was no speech.
Well, hang on. So when it said you got to the desktop, what happened then?
Jaws came on.
Oh, Jaws came on at that point. Right. Okay. Yeah. So you had no speech at the lock screen was
nope.
The issue.
Nothing at all, which usually doesn't happen, so it was a bit of a surprise. But yes, thanks to this solution, I now had another method to help me identify what was going on in order to kind of try and be able to figure out what to do, which was quite fascinating.
When I find myself in that situation, I usually press Control, Windows key and Enter.
That is another option, yes, that I did not think of at the time.
There you are. Control, Windows key and Enter, and narrator. Obviously, if you do that and then you get no speech, then you've got a problem. But I usually find with Windows machines, I can go up to pretty much any Windows machine these days and Control, Windows key and Enter. And then, of course, how do you switch it off? It's the same keystroke.
Speaking of Windows and not having speech, by the way, I've never known Freedom Scientific do this before, but there's an optional update for Jaws that's just been released. Now, apparently, there is an issue with certain Windows 11 builds where when you're typing in on the start menu, when you're in that little search box and typing in, you may not get speech from Jaws. It may not speak the search box and speak the results. If you're having that issue, then you can download an optional update to JAWS. So you can either get it from the Freedom Scientific website, the downloads page, or if you're running JAWS, this is a bit convoluted, but bear with me, you can go to the help menu in JAWS, click on About JAWS, then in that screen there's a special update code button. So click on that and then enter 250208. So think 8th of February, because that's when it was released. Once you've entered in that code, you can then do the usual check for updates and you'll see the update appear. I don't know why they didn't just release it to everyone, to be honest, but yeah, there you go. If you're having that issue, then there's a hopefully that will fix it for you.
And presumably your JAWS dealer would be able to help you with that if you're struggling.
Yeah, yeah, they will, yeah.
Right. Hubert, tell us about your Ray-Bans news.
Well, I'm slowly cracking, chaps. I'm slowly tempted to make a purchase of the Meta Ray-Bans, more because of the easy ability to take photos and videos, which I wouldn't say I massively struggle with, but I struggle with to a point where I'm no good at pointing the camera in the right direction, which I'm hoping that using the Meta glasses might make that a little bit easier, because I'd like to be able to, you know, take more videos and such, especially now we've got tools such as, you know, PickyBot that can describe videos and Be My AI that can also describe photos. I'd just like to be able to get more into that and explore the future potentials as well of the Meta Ray-Bans.
I was at the NEC last week and I used the Ray-Bans to locate my exhibition stand. So I went off to the loo, which was quite a way away, and then when I was coming back, you know, it was quite sort of crowded, very easy to get disoriented in that environment. It wasn't an event that had been particularly designed with blind people in mind, so there were few sort of tactile, you know, artifacts on the floor or anything to you know, get a fix on. And of course you can just sort of stop and ask people, you know, which stand number is this, but I used Be My Eyes on the Ray-Bans, and yeah, it worked pretty well actually. It obviously relies on you having a good signal, right, which sometimes you don't always have, but yeah, I think that's a great use case, Be My Eyes on.
How well could you hear the volunteer? How clearly in a crowded environment?
Just about. It's a great point. I was just on the edge of being able to hear them. If it had been any noisier in the environment, I would have struggled. So yes, I have identified that as an issue, particularly outdoors in railway stations and other places. You can find that if you've got a lot of background noise, they can be difficult to hear. But yeah, generally, it was all right. It was all right. Anyway, let us know. Have you tried any of that and or something else? The usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum Hubert, thank you very much. Stick around. It's another Tech Talk.
Now, what would you say if I've mentioned to you that we're going to talk about a device called Superbrain? Are you intrigued? I know I certainly was when I saw this device from Seventh Sense, and it is that what we are going to discuss today. Joining me now is sales manager from Seventh Sense, Yana Arsenyeva. Yana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, the name on its own is intriguing. Please tell us, what is Superbrain and how did the idea come about for this?
If to imagine, Superbrain is like a sports wearable headband. You wear it on the head. It is a little bit less than a kilo, but the weight is distributed through the device equally. So it doesn't feel, for example, heavier from the front or, you know, lighter from the back. In front of the device, there is located different type of cameras, 3D camera, RGB, thermal. These cameras captures the information in front of the person and less than 50 milliseconds translates back to this haptic material. What is haptic material? All the information translates to the person's forehead. There is more than 150 physical pins, which is actually indicating you with a physical touch. It's a like very nice massage type of touch on your forehead. If you will move through the space and there will be, for example, walls or any tables, chairs on the way, the device will indicate specifically either from your left or right, is something hanging from your top or something is on your like a ground level, you will feel this touch on correct place. If it will be really, really near, it will be like more intense touch. If it will be further away, it will be lighter. So with the time, you actually learn how to distinguish what is the distance between you and other object. There is only four buttons. Power button, and you will feel it. It's indicated with the braille letter P, and you just slide it to like switch it on. It will give an audio signal, like the pins will start to move from one side to another with a little sound, so you know that the device is on. And to boot it up, it takes around like 1 minute. And then on the other side, so left side, there is three operational buttons. First one, which is kind of closer to your ear, activates the device. So you will start to feel and understand this haptic space around you. The second one is the AI mode. How the AI mode works on our device, it helps to recognize specific things. For example, one of those are if in front of the blind person would be another person, it will give a different pattern. So you would feel like a little raindrops coming from your forehead down. Whatever person will be located from your left, right, or in front, you would feel in exact place that pattern. If the people would be like more together in a crowd, so you would feel it more intense in one spot. The second thing what AI recognizes at the moment is doors. So if you are in the room and you have difficulties, for example, to locate the door, you just follow the pattern which moves from your lower forehead upwards, and you know, okay, there's the door. I had to move towards and locate the door handle for that. The third one is the stairs. So if you are anywhere near the stairs, you would feel like a horse running, you know, pattern. These are the movement of the pins, but you would feel hear also a little like a sound from the movement of these pins. So then you know that anywhere near is stairs. Either they are going down or going up.
That is quite a unique design. I mean, for a wearable device, that small kind of like a headwear device, how did the idea come about? What was the inspiration behind going for this particular headwear design?
Our CEO, Johannes Vananen, so he was in the Mexican bar, and, you know, he was wearing this sombrero hat. And this hat actually was how the people around moved and, you know, touched the hat, was pressuring his forehead. And this is where the idea actually came to kind of use the forehead as giving the signals and information what is happening around the person.
Is there a tutorial when you first use the device to kind of show you how to use everything and what each pattern represents?
Yes. For example, in our webpage, there is possibility to watch kind of and listen the introduction video, how is correctly to set up and use the device. But as well, every time when we deliver any demo unit or sell to distributor or our partners the device, we always come on spot and do this proper training introduction. We train them how to use the device, and actually how, if the person wants to come and try device, how to do this demonstration. Overall, it takes around 5 minutes to understand the technology and how it works. So it's very user-friendly, I would say.
Have you had any feedback from blind and partially sighted people as to how they found using Superbrain?
It very depends, but the most feedback is really positive. And one of the common things what they say, it's a totally new sense, because they have never experienced or tried anything like that. They say it's quite easy to understand the feedback, because you just need to find this clear path where you don't feel any feedback and just move towards. Thing to mention, they also are positive regarding that we don't use audio, so we don't give any commands to the people. So they receive the information and they decide themselves how to use it. The another thing is, of course, to mention a little bit, you know, of the design and size. But if you feel the real benefit of the device that it gives, you don't care already about the size and weight. We kind of plan to launch around 1,000 these type of first limited, you know, edition devices is just to introduce the technology, to let people know that there is more different tools available than a white cane and the guide dog. So they start to already learn and understand the technology. So when we would launch the second version, which would be already lighter, much more kind of smaller, it would be more mass product. So everybody already knows how it works and everybody could start to use it from on the go.
What stage is Superbrain at in terms of availability to the wider public?
We have CE already labeling, so it's safe to use basically for everybody, for kids and older generation. The only thing at the moment is the size. So we aim that starting like from 14 and upwards, these are the right users for this specific device. We are searching for these early adopters who are ready to try the technology, to acquire it. You can purchase it either from the local distributors, depending on the country, or you can try it within some of our partners. If we don't have the distributor yet in the country, you're able to purchase it from our website.
How much does the device cost?
Device price is, if to talk in pounds, so 7,500 plus VAT is the end user price. And we are looking into access to work program to kind of find the reimbursement options for the people for it to actually afford it.
Do you provide a VAT exemption for people who are blind or partially sighted? I know that's what a lot of kind of specialist retailers do who sell products for blind and partially sighted people.
At the moment, no, we don't have this option. But always, if the person would buy first this type of device, what we would offer when the new device comes, we would exchange it for free.
And do you also allow, for example, like a payment plan when it comes to purchasing the device, so you know people don't have to immediately have the £7,500 plus VAT available? Are you able to split the cost across a set of monthly payments?
We will be. We are looking for the partners actually who would support this payment option.
And from a safety aspect, I think it would be good to clarify that it's not a navigation device in a sense that it will not give you turn-by-turn instructions. This is more of a device that will help you with your surroundings and what surrounds you rather than kind of giving you directions.
Yes, exactly. It will help you better to understand your surrounding, like more, you know, you would feel like this 3D space around you.
Also, is this more of an indoor solution or can this be used outside?
It can be used both indoors and outdoors. The only thing at the moment outdoors, the device as it is now, it is not waterproof, but we are planning to add like a cup solution so it is possible to use it in the rainy weather or, you know, in the snow conditions.
If people would like to find out more information, maybe watch videos of the device, where can they go to do that?
They can do it on our website, so it's 7sense.ee, or we have YouTube channel, we have Instagram, LinkedIn, so yeah, most of the social media we are covered, so there you could find explanatory videos, how the device works, how also this idea came. A lot of information from our CEO and the founder is available. So, and always can contact us via email or through the phone. Jana@7sense.ee.
Fantastic. Well, if you are intrigued by Superbrain, you can have a more of a read about it and watch some videos. We here on Tech Talk will have a go at using it too, which you will hopefully hear in the coming weeks. But for now, Jana Asenjeva, from 7th Sense. Thank you for joining us here on RNIB Tech Talk.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Well, in front of me on my toy table today, I have the HIMS Braille eMotion. And this is a really nice package, I have to say. So I will describe a little bit in terms of the size and the weight and some of its features, and then we can go through the menu, because this item talks as well as has Braille on it. So to give you an idea of its size, first of all, the width is 12.6 inches or 320 mm. The depth is 3.5 inches or 90 mm. And the height is 0.8 inches or 21 mm. The battery is around 20 hours in length, and that would be with your Braille and voice at midway, say. And the weight, I should say, is 1.6 pounds or 740g. Now, this is a fully fledged Braille display and note taker, so you can use it as a standalone device, or you can use it with your screen reader such as JAWS, NVDA, Narrator. You can use it on Android with TalkBack, and you can use it on iOS on your iPhone or tablet, and you can use it on the Mac as well. So it does support everything, as far as I'm aware, and what I've tried so far. On the top of the display is your regular Perkin-style keyboard. In the middle, between dots 1 and dot 4, for those of you who are familiar with a Braille keyboard, there is a kind of an oval button, and you would use that button in conjunction with other buttons on the display, including the space bar, to switch between your standalone mode and whatever you're using with your screen reader, which I really quite like. I've had this working with JAWS, and it is really very snappy. There's no lag. I've tried it on USB, because it has a USB port, and it can pair up to 5 Bluetooth devices as well. So when you want to switch between standalone mode and JAWS, for example, you just press the space bar with the key in the middle, which they're calling the center button, and that lets you jump into JAWS and back again. So it's really seamless, to be honest. The keyboard's lovely and quiet. It's got, well, I'll explain the items in a minute on the menu. Just to finish off giving you a quick tour of the physical structure. It has a nice case that it comes in. It looks, if anybody has seen the Brailliant BiX 40, it's roughly that size, and it looks similar because it has a case that's similar to the Bi 40. And you have keys on the front of it, and you've got your keyboard keys on the top. You have stereo speakers, so you have the vocalizer voice coming through it as well. So if you like your Daniel or Malcolm, I've got mine set to Malcolm at the moment. Well, I say mine, this is a demo unit, so it's not mine, but I have set it with Malcolm as the voice. So you can have the vocalizer voices, and of course you've got 40 Braille cells with your cursor routing buttons of each one, and your panning buttons at the end of each end of the display. And it has an internal battery, so it's not replaceable. It runs about 20 hours, so it's really good battery life on this thing. Of course, it depends on usage. It does Bluetooth 5.0. It has Wi-Fi 2.4 and 5, I believe, megahertz. And you have stereo speakers, as I say. There's a lot that this thing can do. There is record on it as well, so you can do voice recordings, which is not bad. And of course, it supports DAISY. It supports all your document formats, such as BRF, TXT, RTF, DOCX, DOC, HTML, EPUB, PDF. So all the usual formats, it will support those. There's a music player on board this thing as well, so it supports all the usual formats such as MP3, MP4, M4A, all the kind of ones that you would be used to. So it is a fully fledged note taker with some bells and whistles, and we'll go through the menu so that you can hear what it sounds like. So the first item is...
My emotion. Why?
Okay, so here we have Malcolm. That's the chord, that the sound that you get when you just put it out of standby mode into real mode when you're working with it. And what that does is it will let you know that you're connected to the internet, which I am, because it has Wi-Fi and stuff on as well. So the first item on the top of the menu is emotion. So if we press enter.
Books folder 1 for list item.
So that's books.
Daisy folder 2 for list item.
Daisy 2 of 4.
Documents folder 3 for list item. Music folder 4 for list item.
Now, that is just a quick way that they think is the most popular items that you would be using. So that's why they've put them in a little folder at the top of the menu called My Emotion.
My Emotion. Why?
But if we go down the main menu.
File Manager F.
So in here, you would have your flash disk, and there is 64 GB of internal storage. Bear in mind, there is some taken up by the operating system. And if you have a micro SD card installed, which is very simple to access, it's on the front right of the machine. So you just pop a micro SD card in there, and it will support, I think, up to whatever Android supports, because the underlay of this is Android 12, version 12. So it will support any micro SD, FAT32 or XFAT, whatever you want to put in there. So if you were in the file manager, you would see flash disk as your internal storage, and you would also see your micro SD card. So that's file manager.
Notepad N. Connectivity C.
And that's where you would connect to your other Bluetooth devices or your USB device if you want to connect on USB.
Document reader K. Daisy player D.
And if you notice, after each of these items, it's giving you a letter so that you can do first letter navigation, obviously Daisy being D.
Media player M. Library L.
Now, in the library, there are things like NLS and BARD, but obviously in the UK, we don't have those. We can't access them. And maybe one day RNIB will get sorted out with their talking books so that we can access their library on this machine or any of the other machines that offer similar facilities. But at the moment, the library services is really for people that have the unit in the US or Canada.
Utilities, U.
I'll go into utilities because there's quite a few things in here.
Voice recorder, V. Calculator, C. Display time and date, D. Wake up alarm, A. Stopwatch, W. Backup restore flash disk, K.
So you can do a backup or a restore of your flash disk, and it remembers all your settings if you want to do that.
Format F.
So you can format this drive, or you could format the SD card. I wouldn't recommend, though, that you format the flash disk unless you really need to. But you would lose all your documents that were on there. You wouldn't actually lose the speech or anything like that, though, because that's built into the unit. But just be wary if you were going to format your drives, just in case you lose anything important.
Sleep timer, J. Upgrade Braille Emotion firmware, U.
Okay, so that's all that's in the utilities, but it's useful to go through that. So I'll backspace.
Utilities, U.
Okay.
Settings, S.
And this is where you would set up internet and Bluetooth and just... basically time and date, things like that, and your time server.
Help H.
Now, there is a really good help document in here. You can use the user guide, and it's divided into sections, so it is pretty helpful.
Help H.
And that's all there is on the main menu. So that's a quick tour of what it does. It is pretty quiet. It's a very nice keyboard. It's got full-size Perkins keys. And as I say, you have other buttons to control your Braille display, and you can customize it really well. And as I say, because this unit is ergonomic in terms of its width and length, it sits really nicely in front of a QWERTY keyboard, for example, if you were going to be using a laptop keyboard. And it sits really nicely in front of the laptop, or it would sit nicely in front of your QWERTY keyboard if you have an external. And, you know, in terms of its ergonomics, it's really very comfortable to use. You can power the unit right off and shut it down completely, or you can just press a button on the top of the unit that would put it into standby mode. And it just quietly does go into standby mode. And then if you wanted to bring it out of standby mode, just press it like
Help
that.
H.
And it's left where you were. So your last item, and that gives you your internet connection, sort of little chime to let you know that the internet is connected. So on the top as well, there are three useful buttons. They're labelled W, B and C. So the first one, W, is for your Wi-Fi, so you can just tap that button and check your Wi-Fi list, or a long press of it would give you, you know, the option to find another connection. Similar with Bluetooth, on the next one you have Bluetooth, that takes you right into your Bluetooth or your Bluetooth list. And then you've got connectivity as well there. So there is a lot happening on this machine. Of course, it's not cheap. It costs with a VAT exemption, it's available from Sight and Sound Technology, and it would cost £2,795, and obviously it's over £3,000 if you have to pay VAT. I have to say that so far, in using this loan model that Sight and Sound have very kindly let me borrow for a week or so, I'm really impressed with it. I really do like it. I'm used to HIMSS products because I've got a BS6, and I've had in the past a U2, and I've had the BrailleSense earlier models. So I am used to their products. I know the way they work, and I really do quite like them. This is a lovely Braille display as well, 40 Braille cells. And it is comfortable to use and to read on. You've got your USB C power source, so you get a cable with it in the box and a quick start user manual, and as I say, there is a built-in manual on the device in the help section. You've got volume up and down buttons on it as well that you can control those, and you have a headphone socket, you've got microphone sockets, and you have a USB-A port as well that you can use to put, say, a pen stick in or something like that as well. So it is a really quite a good machine. It's pretty snappy with the screen reader, and for me that was quite important, because if I was ever going to use something like this on a laptop, for example, or on a computer, I'd want to know that it was pretty snappy and there wasn't too much lag. And I have to say that on USB, certainly, there is no lag at all. It works really well with JAWS. And the Bluetooth is pretty good because you compare it to, you know, external speakers or whatever. You can adjust all the voice settings, the rate, the pitch, and you can change the voices to a different voice if you want to. So there is a lot going on in this unit. It just depends what it is you need and what, obviously, your budget is. But that is the HIMSS Braille Emotion.
So Dave, you've been busy last week, as always. You've been at a conference all about packaging.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, more interesting than perhaps it sounds, right? You know, when you say to people, oh, I've been at a packaging conference, they sort of glaze over a little bit, don't they? You know, and like, really? But it was fascinating. There were all the great and the good from the packaging industry came together at the NEC near Birmingham. Obviously, consumer packaging, artwork, designers, all that kind of stuff. A lot of eco suppliers as well, people who are trying to make accessible, trying to make more environmentally friendly packaging.
you know, based on seaweed and eggshells and things like that. And then, of course, lots of industrial packaging for use in the supply chain. But the reason I was there representing RNIB is that we are working with the packaging industry to persuade suppliers to make their packaging more accessible so that it is easier to use by those of us who are blind or low vision or perhaps have a cognitive impairment or a language barrier or something else. So there are a couple of solutions that we were demonstrating. You'll have heard of NaviLens, of course, which is this colourful QR code that can be scanned from quite a distance away, and you can scan multiple codes at the same time. We were also showing something called Zappar, Z-A-P-P-A-R, and Zap Vision is an app that you can download, and these QR codes are based on the original QR code. So if you've got a product that already has a QR code on it, the packaging developer can extend that to be more accessible, so it's easier to scan with the Zap Vision app. And then, of course, we were showing other forms of packaging as well, tactile packaging. So Sony, for example, they have a little tactile border around their QR code that takes you to online instructions with their LinkBuds earphones. And also, of course, we have on medication packaging a bit of Braille as well. So lots to show, a real wide variety of visitors. And, you know, I really think awareness is growing, actually, when it comes to accessible packaging. I mean, what do you do, Callum?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of solutions out there now. I mean, my go-to, to be honest, if I'm in doubt, is usually seeing AI with that product recognition channel. And that uses, as far as I understand it anyway, that just uses your standard, you know, product barcode that pretty much all products have. And I don't really know how that works, whether there's a, I mean, clearly there's some sort of database there, but I don't know how products or manufacturers get added to that. But that seems to be doing better. I mean, there was a time where quite a lot of stuff would come back as just not known, not recognized. And that still happens sometimes, but that doesn't seem to happen as much now. NaviLens came in really useful for me a few days ago, actually. Do you remember quite a while ago we spoke to SMA because they had it on their, they've started putting it on their products, on their formula. Now I had two, my baby had run out of milk and, well, not ran out, but you know, the tub had run out. And, he's in the living room screaming for his bottle. And, we had two tubs. They both felt exactly the same. One of them was the first milk, which he's currently on. And then the other one was the follow-on milk, which we're going to be moving him to at some point. Both the same size, both feel exactly the same. Couldn't tell which one was which. So, I just got out NaviLens and instantly I didn't even have them in focus. It just picked them up and straight away told me which one was which. So, I mean, that was really nice. I couldn't think of a quicker solution with that, to be honest.
Mm. Because with those barcodes, the more traditional barcodes, when you're scanning those using that product's channel in Seeing AI, there's a bit of a knack to it, isn't there?
Yeah, you got to listen to those beeps. Mm.
There is.
Yeah. So go on, talk us through, Hubert, you do a bit of this as well. How do you approach scanning a barcode with that? Because it's something that I do a lot, and I just sort of assume, you know, other people would know how to do that. How do you approach that?
There's no easy way of saying this. The way I kind of do it is move the packaging around and wave the phone in front of it, and I hope at some point it picks up the barcode. Unfortunately, I've not figured out an ideal way of doing it. I mean, usually if you can distinguish where the back of the packaging is, you can probably more likely point your phone at that, in that direction, and hope it will find it. But what I'd like, I mean, I'm loving the introduction of tactile borders around QR codes. That, I think that's fantastic, and I'd love to see that expand. But I'd love something similar or something tactile to help identify barcodes on packaging, because I would love an easier ability to locate the barcode so I can then point the phone in that direction and find it a bit easier, because that's the problem you always have. Like you say, there's no real technique to doing it.
You got any tips, Callum?
Not really. I mean, I mean, boxes are quite easy because you can just kind of try one side. Okay, it's not there. You know, turn it around, try the other side. There's a few ways of doing it. And eventually you should find it. But then when you go to like packets of things, that can be difficult. Tins or cans are a nightmare. Good luck finding the barcode on them. Or, you know, there's nothing worse. When you just find that barcode, take your hand off it for a second and then it rolls. There's nothing, you know.
Why are you putting it on that side? I would put it on the flat end. So there's a really helpful video actually made by Microsoft about how to scan barcodes. It's a few years old now, but I think still contains useful information. And a couple of things that I do. One is to very slowly move the phone kind of back. So start with the package and the phone pretty close together, and then I tend to move the phone back so that the whole of the package comes into view. In the case of tins, I know on some tins the barcode is near the join where the label joins. So if you feel around the side of the tin, some tins, I think tins from Heinz, for example, I think the barcode on those is near the join. And then, yeah, just sort of have the tin on the flat end and rotate it on the flat end, so it's not going to go anywhere if you let go of it, until the barcode comes into view. And then Seeing AI itself has these sonar like beeps that get increasingly rapid as the barcode comes into view, and then hopefully you should get a scan. So let us know what your tips are for accessing packaging. If you've got something that we've not mentioned and you've got something that's a little bit more foolproof for you, you can, of course, use something like Be My Eyes, and I'm sure the volunteers there would also be happy to help.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's now time for our monthly gaming news roundup, where we talk a bit about new games and some accessibility features within them. Joining me is a fellow gamer, Dom Musial. Thank you for joining us, Dom.
Thank you.
Let's start with the three we've got today. Kick us off with the first one, then. What is it?
The first game we have is Neither. It was released in December 2024. It is a beautifully illustrated action-adventure game about a young woman and her wolf companion journeying through a dark, decaying world. Together, they overcome environmental challenges and hostile creatures while exploring themes of grief, love and resilience. You don't have to worry about all the beautifully illustrated illustrations, because if you need them, there are visual accessibility features such as chase sequence skips. Players can bypass high stress chase scenes, offering smoother progression for those with visual or cognitive impairments. Also, enhanced platforming mechanics, improved visual cues, and simplified navigation make the game more accessible for players with low vision or motor difficulties. Now, the game is available on various platforms, including PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox Series X or S, PlayStation 4 and 5, and costs around $16.99.
So can you tell us a little bit about platform mechanics? What are they exactly?
Each game has different mechanics, which are different ways a game works and different things you must do for a certain scene to function or a certain thing to happen. Platforming mechanics means that within the platforming part of the game, which is a type of game, there's different functions and ways to complete different tasks, and this makes it easier visually to navigate and find things out and find different ways to complete various tasks in the game.
Fantastic. We'll talk more about which kind of these games will be your pick to play later on, but tell us a little bit about the next game. What's next on your list?
So next up, we have Marvel Rivals. It is a very popular game released on the 6th of December 2024. Marvel Rivals is a 6v6 multiplayer hero shooter that brings iconic Marvel superheroes and villains into intense PvP battles. PvP means player v player. Players form teams, combining character abilities to execute powerful synergies and dominate their rivals. There are also various accessibility features, such as high contrast user interface options. So we have customizable interface settings that improve readability and clarity for players with visual impairment. There's also colorblind modes, tailored to various forms of colorblindness. These modes ensure critical in-game visuals remain distinguishable. Also, clear visual indicators, unique effects for abilities and attacks, make fast-paced combat more accessible for low-vision players. The game is free and is available on Windows, PS5, and Xbox Series X/S.
Let's have your final pick.
Number three is Path of Exile 2. This, coincidentally, was also released on the 6th of December. It's a sequel to the acclaimed action role-playing game Path of Exile. Path of Exile 2 expands upon its predecessor with a new campaign, enhanced visuals, and refined gameplay. Players battle hordes of monsters, uncover powerful loot, and shape their characters' abilities in a dark fantasy world. The following are a few of the visual accessibility features available. Scalable user interface elements. There are adjustable sizes of interface components for better visibility. Enhanced visual effect clarity. You've got options to minimize visual clutter, making gameplay easier to follow. And also detailed graphics settings. You've got the customization of visual aspects to improve comfort and readability. So things such as fonts and sizes and such. Now the game is in early access, which means that it is available to the public, but is still being worked on with guaranteed updates to come. It is around £24 and you can get it on Windows PC, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S.
Let's look at all of these three games then. Which one of them have you played, or which one of them are you maybe, you know, which one of them would you play if you were able to?
At the moment I haven't played any of them yet, but the most intriguing I feel like is Path of Exile 2 because I'm quite into dark fantasy and role-playing games, so I think it's something up my alley and something I could definitely try.
And one more question, just out of interest, as this is our first gaming roundup of 2025, is there anything in particular in gaming in 2025 that you are looking forward to?
There has, coincidentally, yesterday, a couple of days ago, has been announced the Nintendo Switch 2. And Nintendo has posted a teaser about the Nintendo Switch 2. There's going to be a Nintendo Switch Direct, which basically will talk about more features within the new console. So hopefully it's going to include loads of fun, useful accessibility features, and I'm looking forward to see what they have off their sleeves.
Fantastic. Well, we shall keep an eye on it and see what happens. But for now, thank you, Dom, for joining me once again. Dom Musial, fellow gamer, for our gaming roundup here on RNIB Tech Talk.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's it from Tech Talk this time. Thank you so much for your company. We do appreciate it. If you have a question or comment or something you'd love to hear on Tech Talk, do let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Dave Williams, Callum Stoneman and Hubert Pavalkovich, until next time, bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Until next time.
Bye.